If you would, look at John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We're going to pray together. I'll ask you to bow with me. Will you do that? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. May he hear from you. And then let your prayer move to being grateful, to being thankful. Who the Lord is, what he does, what he's revealed, what he's leading you through, how he empowers you. Just give thanks, if you will. And he hears every word you say. Give thanks. And there are people who overlap into your life. When we pray this segment of our prayer, we're doing ministry. There are people who overlap into your life going through difficult times, and those difficult times can come in various ways, many different forms. But lift them up, if you will, right now. Will you pray for them by name, giving them to our Heavenly Father? Take a moment and do that. There are many of our church this week. I think there are four funerals connected to our church. Paul Barrick this week. Many of us known and love Paul. Lindsay Maddox, been a part of this church in the past. We have David Rowe's mother, Miss Pat, passed away. We have Miss Peek's funeral here this next Saturday, Miss Kay. Let's just pray for people who are grieving and suffering. Let's open our hearts for the Lord to speak today. Will you do that? Like, speak to me, Lord. Highlight what you need me to hear. Then would you pray a blessing over those who are literally around you today, and then for your family, wherever they may be, would you just pray a blessing over them? Take a minute to do that. Father, I pray that you help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give me to speak. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your preacher. I'm your teacher. On me, by you, is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in this room. And I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's really good to see you today. I've missed you. It's been a couple weeks. I want to thank Logan for preaching last Sunday. And then I want to thank Tucker for leading as well. And I was back in Campbellsville, which is home. And I have a dear friends here from Campbellsville today. I'll show them off a little later in the service, but I was back home at Pleasant Hill where I grew up. Julie went to Campbellsville Baptist, which is in the city. I lived in Pleasant Hill, which is about 8 miles out in the county, and they're dedicating a building, and I saw my pastor, who was our pastor at Campbellsville Baptist. He retired. And he's been at my home church for 20 years, and he was at our former church for 21, so he's been in the area for a long time. So I saw Dr. Jones at a funeral in Campbellsville, and he said, "Would you come do this for us?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." We were able to work it out. It was good to go back home and flood the memories that are there. I told this story about my dad. You all really didn't get the privilege of knowing my father. My father was a very caring and loving man, but a very aggressive man. My dad was a drill sergeant at Fort McClellan, Alabama. And I say he never quit being a drill sergeant, but he was a very loving and caring, compassionate man. But then he could have an aggressive side to him. So I told this story back at Campbellsville, and I just want to tell it to you because it's just an incredible story. There is a new road from Lebanon to Campbellsville now, but back when Lynn and all of us were growing up, you had one way to Lebanon, and that was over what we call Finley Ridge and Muldrow Hill. Curvy as all get out. But also, Marion County was wet and Taylor County was dry. So people would hitchhike from Campbellsville to Lebanon and go on the road that I lived on. And they would go, there's a place before you leave Marion County into Taylor County, and it's called First Stop or Last Stop, and it's a liquor store, but it depends on which way you're going, you know. So if you're going to Campbellsville, it's the last stop. If you're coming from Campbellsville, it's the first stop. So there were some people, I'll leave the names out of it because some people listen to this podcast, and this man had hitchhiked all the way, he was going to Lebanon. And it was supper time. My mom had supper on the table, knock on the door. My dad answered it. It was this man, and he was hungry and wanted some money for some food. So my dad was going to give him some money, but he said, wait a minute. He said, we've got supper on the table. Come eat with us. That was just my dad. And he said, no, I don't want to interrupt your all supper. And he goes, well, let Margaret, which is my mom's name, let her fix you a plate and we'll just give it to you and you can, you know, take it on your way since you're hungry. No, I don't want that either. And so he said, I just want to leave you alone. Just give me some money. Give me something to eat. Now, you do understand he's hitchhiking to Marion County for a reason, right? So my dad gives him some money. And he said, I give you this money, and he did. He stuck it in his shirt pocket. He said, I want to pray over you. And so he did, and I peeped around a corner. I was about 14 or 15 years old. I peeped around a corner. My dad prayed this prayer. I promise you, this happened. He said, Dear Lord, I have given this man money to get something to eat. Said, I've offered him food, and he's turned it down. And he said, I just leave that between you and him. But he said, I pray that if he spends this money on liquor, he said, the minute that liquor touches his tongue, I pray that you strike him dead. And so that man gave that money back and said, I'm not as hungry as I thought I was, he said. That's the truth if I'm standing here, I'm telling you. So I had to tell that story on my father. He would not take that money. My dad kept trying. He's out of here. So after the service last Sunday, people came up and they said, was this so-and-so? You know, they mentioned his name. I said, yeah, that's who we were talking about. So anyway, I was glad to be home. I was glad my mind was flooded with just memories and talking to people and seeing folks who loved us and loved us well and invested in our lives. And anyway, it was good to be back home, but I want to say thanks to Logan and to Tucker. This setting in John 20, 21 and 22 is after the resurrection, still after the resurrection. And we're going to be focusing on that for a few days since we just finished Easter. But the setting here is that the resurrection has just happened. The disciples are behind closed doors. You'll have to read the verses before 21 to get all the setting. But they're behind closed doors. They're afraid. They are afraid that what happened to Jesus will happen to them, since they were afraid of the Jews. So they're not only behind a closed door, they're behind a closed door that's locked. And they were afraid, filled with fear. And the Lord appears to them, and seemingly all the pointing is that he just walked through the door. And you're going, you know, what kind of a magic trick is this? It's he's a resurrected Lord. You know, he can go anywhere he wants to, not bound by time, and certainly not bound by dimension which I know is a part of time. But in that, he shows them his wounds, and he is reassuring them. They settle down a little bit, and then he breathes on them. That's kind of weird, especially when you come out of a pandemic. I mean, if I went to school and did that, I'd probably be sent to the principal's office. Why are you here? Well, Jeff's been breathing on me, you know? So it seems kind of strange. I just want to show you today in Scripture that it really isn't strange at all that the Lord breathed on his disciples, which was a picture of commissioning and sending them out. So let's just begin with the whole putting together the breath of God for just a second. When we're talking about breath, we're talking about it's life-giving. Obviously, you know that. But it has to do with the Holy Spirit being breath and being wind. I want you to look at Genesis 2:7 to show you how we can connect the dots even through Scripture about the breath of God and him breathing on the disciples is really not that strange. It said, then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. Man was nothing but a form until the breath of God hit him. He was nothing but a shape. That's all he was. And then God breathed life into him. He breathed a soul into us. And then man became a living being. Without the breath of God, you and I are nothing but a form and a shape. That's all we are. Ezekiel 37, verses 9 and 10. And before I get to those two verses, Ezekiel was a prophet, and he's a weird dude, man. I'm just going to tell you. I don't know how else to tell you. This guy had visions. Lord, have mercy, did he have visions. And very descriptive visions. And then when he would preach, he preached action sermons. He would dress up. You know, they were very theatrical. It was drama. I mean, he would dress up the part and he would act them out all the time. So they weren't just sermons like I give you today. They were action sermons with a lot of drama, a lot of props, all kinds of things. But God gave him a vision of a valley of dry bones. I'm going to tap into your Sunday school memory here for a little bit for those who were raised in the church. The valley of dry bones. And the Lord in the vision is giving him a tour of this, all these bones. So he says to Ezekiel, can I make these live? Do you believe I can do this? It reminds me of a passage in Jeremiah where God says to the prophet Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It comes to the same parallel as God saying to Ezekiel, can I make these bones live? And in that, before we get to these two passages, which talk about the breath of God, so I just want you to see it's not so strange that he breathed on them. As we see in verses 9 and 10, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So Ezekiel prophesied and he commanded them that the breath enter them and they came to life and stood on their feet and they became a vast army. Now, it's very, before we get to these verses that I just read to you, he's given him a tour of all this valley of dry bones, and dry is a very key word. They're weathered. The sun and the elements and everything had weakened all of these bones, and he is putting them together, and he does. I'm going to remind you of a song that a lot of us know, and we think it's it has to do with childhood and dealing with the skeletal system. But this song that I'm going to bring out to you, which some of you are already, you already know where I'm headed, is based on Ezekiel 37. It's called Dim Bones. Dim bones, dim bones, dim dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. You know, I can see little kids marching to that, you know. But it's more than a children's song. It's a spiritual, and it is written after Ezekiel 37. And you all, we're getting the picture. Before we get to this about the breath of God in verses 9 and 10, God put those bones together, and here's the song. The toe bone is connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone is connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone's connected to the shin bone, and yes, I'm going to stop. So that whole song comes from Ezekiel 37. I'll get you back. Just don't worry. I'll get you back, Denny. Just take note of that. It might be 6 months, but I'll get you back. So in this picture, the bones came together, the tendons came together, muscle and flesh was added on to the skeletons in this vision, and then skin. But they were lifeless. They were nothing but a put-together skeleton until what? Until God breathed life into them. I just want you to know, him breathing on the disciples in that moment is not so weird after all, because we have man was nothing but a form or a shape until the breath of God hit him. In this vision, it was nothing but skeletons, and then flesh and muscle and tendon and cartilage and skin. That's all it was standing until in that vision the breath of God came to them. I want you to look at Job 33:4 for just a moment. Job, in the midst of everything happening to him, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. In the midst of all that was taken from him, and all that was done to him, he still speaks a word that it is the breath of God that gives me the power to be able to go through that. I may be your preacher and pastor. I'm really not that good of a pastor. And you're going to think I'm fishing for you to say something, and I'm not. That has nothing to do with it. Because if we're not careful, we will look at a pastor to come and be by my side. When you don't need me, you need the Lord. You all with me? My growing up is we've replaced the pastor with the presence of the Lord. And you may not think I'm a good pastor. That's fine. Doesn't matter to me. But my point is, when you're going through tough times, it's not about me being there. It's about the breath of the Almighty giving you the power to go through what you're going through. You don't want me to breathe on you, because it won't do a thing but curl your hair. You want the breath of God to breathe on you. It's the breath of God that gets us through the difficulties of our life. And even though I showed you Genesis 2:7, the making of man, Ezekiel, the vision of the dry bones coming to life, Job, and the sustaining power, it all has the picture of resurrection to it, all of it. Everything is being raised up. God is raising it up. And you and I have got to live in that power. We've got to live in the spirit of Job that says, when everything is being removed from me, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord who has given us life. And we've got difficult decisions to make. We've got things to go through. Most of it we don't even ask for. None of us in here order hard times. None of us. Never. But the Lord gives us sustaining power. The breath of the Almighty, it gives me life and sustenance to be able to go through it. The psalmist, Psalm 33:6, as he sees the beauty of God. The heavens were made by the word of God. All the stars by the breath of his mouth. He made them. There's nothing wrong with that. In the creation accounts, it's spoken into existence. It is, and he said, and he said, and he said, let there be light. And he said, and it just goes on and on and on. So nothing further than it is the fact that it, his breath, his spoken word, his breath gives life, even life to what you and I trust on a daily basis. The sun coming up and the sun going down, it's all based on the creation breath of God, all of it. 2 Timothy 3:16, we talk about scripture. And I am hopping and skipping around, and I know that I am, but I just want you to know him breathing on them is not that strange. All scripture is inspired. The word inspired there means breathed. All scripture is breathed or inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, for training in righteousness. And the next verse talks about it being, we being the complete person that God is making. Even scripture is alive. You know, do I want you in God's word because that's just the checkoff list that we need to do as a church? Or it's just my job as a pastor to make you go through God's word, and some of you are like, well, suffer through it. Listen, you will never understand this world. I promise you. Some of you think you've got the world figured out. If you don't have your base as a biblical worldview, you will never understand this world. A lot of you understand it away from biblical verses in God's word. You have no clue, yet you think you do. It's amazing to me. But it all begins with scripture and it gives life. That's why we want you in God's word. It is life-giving. It is alive. It says it judges the hearts and the motives of all of us. But I just want you to see that not only man, not only the vision to Ezekiel of the valley of dry bones, not only Job in the sustaining breath of God, not only the psalmist in the creative breath of God, but even the word of God is God's breath to us. It is his life to us. John 5:24, we use it a lot here, is a picture of a life that God has breathed on. It says, I assure you, anyone who hears my word, which has life, believes him who has life, who sent me has, there you go, eternal life, will not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life. The word pass is also, the word is crossed. And the camps that we are so connected with here in lots of different angles is a camp called Crossings. And we named that long time ago based on John 5:24. Remember, we're not saying that bad people become good when they come to the Lord. It's not, well, he or she's a bad person and they need the Lord so they'll be good. That is not the belief system. It is he or she before Christ is dead. It's dead. You're dead. Even though you might be living biologically, you're dead. And when you're saved, you've crossed over from death to life. What's the difference is God has breathed on us. In Ephesians 1:13, it won't be on the screen, but it says that that when we're saved and we first believe, the Holy Spirit of God seals us. And it is a deposit of everything that is to come in the future. But yes, that sealing happens when we first believe, but the truth of it is there are times where the filling of the Holy Spirit is a continued event in our lives. Yeah, he seals us, but there's times where we grieve and we quench the Holy Spirit of God, and there's continued feeling that occurs. So the whole picture from Genesis all the way to even we've crossed over from death to life is that God shares his breath with us. I love that part. It's the shared breath of God. Right now, you are breathing the shared breath of God. Your life is going too fast. You have too much on your schedule. You don't even have time to take record of that, to even stop and think of that. But what you're experiencing right now is because of the shared breath of God. And we've got to stop and realize this. It's not so crazy for Jesus to breathe on his disciples, because that's what God has done to all the created world. It's empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know something that's very important here. Remember in the setting, we started off with the disciples behind a closed door, yet a locked door, out of fear. The scripture says they were afraid, because what they did to Jesus, they were afraid it was going to happen to them. But when he breathes on them, he is sending them, okay? He is sending them. And it goes from fear, it goes from them being a fear to them being a force. I want you to look at Acts 1:8, as in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit breathes on the church. It's called it can be referred to as the breath of heaven. And in Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. We use this a lot. This is our mission model here at Hope Church. But I want you to look at Jerusalem for a moment. Remember I told you Jesus found the disciples where? Behind a closed door, a locked door. They were afraid. And they were afraid of the Jews. And what happened in Jerusalem? Where's the first place he sends them? Jerusalem. I want you to go right back to the place that you're most afraid of, because I want you to see my power at work. You'll receive power. Guys, we can't go through the Christian life just crossing our fingers and wishing. It's the power of God. I believe it's the resurrection breath of God that helps us go through. When Jesus is breathing on these disciples, again, to me and you out of a pandemic, it's kind of weird. I think him making mud and spit in his hand is kind of weird too, and making the guys, you know, if you're a germaphobe, it just stirs us up, you know? But my point in that is that he is just so life-giving. Everything about him is life-giving. So him breathing on them is not crazy, because he says, receive the Holy Spirit. They're no longer afraid. They now live with a force that comes by the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts 2, we see the breath of heaven. We see the Holy Spirit give birth to the church. And I know in Acts 5, there is a picture of some of the disciples were preaching, and they are captured by the Sanhedrin. And if you're probably not into knowing who the Sanhedrin is, but just think of the Kentucky Supreme Court, like a local Supreme Court. And they can do what they want to, you know, basically. And they'd beaten them up a little bit. And the guy on the Sanhedrin that had a voice in the Sanhedrin said to him, his name's Gamaliel. He said, listen, let's take a chill pill here. Let's just stop for a moment, because they're wanting to kill him. And he said, let's think through this. And this is the wisdom that Gamaliel gave to the Sanhedrin. He said, if this is not of God, don't pay attention to it, it'll fall away. But it says, if it is of God, you won't be able to stop it. I just want you to know the gospel has power. The kingdom of God is not talk, it says, but power. And it's resurrection power. It's what raised God from the dead. Did he have on an Apple Watch and had it set for a time to go off that would equate for 3 days to be dead? I don't think so. What happened? It was the breath of God that woke him up. And it's resurrection breath. It's power of God that is in all of us to be able to do this. It's an empowering of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you, even with the breath of the church, the Holy Spirit on the church will never be destroyed. I know many of you all, you've just got your life in a wad over what's going on in the world. I just want to use the scripture and say, cheer up. You know, he's overcome the world. He's not worried about it. He's not looking up what to do. You're going, man, it's Russia and Ukraine, and it's floods here, and it's war in Israel and Gaza, and it goes on and on and on, and you're going, man, I bet the Lord's shaking. You reckon? You think the Lord's shaking? I don't think so, because the church, and we're going, what's going to happen to the church? The church is going to be purified. It is going to come out spotless, and it is indestructible. There's not a king or an army or a nation or even hell and even the hounds of hell that can destroy the church of Jesus Christ. So just get your life out of a wad, okay? Hey, you know why it's going to endure? Because it has the breath of God on it. That's why it's going to be able to endure. And I want to remind you of that today. I preached this sermon at Pleasant Hill, and I know you're probably thinking, out of time constraint, he just repurposed this sermon. That's not true. You can think that if you want to. That's okay. I can't control what you think. But I knew we needed to hear this sermon too. It is an incredible thing for us to know that he breathes on us. I think we need this. I think you and I in our praying and our time with the Lord need to say, I need a freshness in my life. It's the cry of David in Psalm 51. Create in me a new heart, O God, and restore a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, I need you to breathe on me. I need your Holy Spirit. And in that, he commissions and he sends. I grew up, I said sins, not with a D, not S-I-N-S, by the way. I grew up with a hymn that we used to sing in the church. In fact, my dad, somebody told me, he said, your dad could sing. And I said, well, he thought he could, you know, but my dad was one of those preachers that be preaching you all and he'd just get into singing. And obviously I haven't taken after him on that, especially since Denny won't allow it. But there's more coming, Denny, by the way, I just want you to know. My dad would just break out singing, breathe on me, that old hymn, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Take thou my heart. Cleanse every part. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Him breathing on the disciples is not weird because the breath of God is all through Scripture. Creation, visions, the sustaining power of his breath with Job, the creation power that the psalmist declares, even the word of God that we read is God-breathed. It's inspired. My prayer for us today, and I say us, is I need a freshness. I need a newness. I need a filling of your Holy Spirit. So our prayer during this invitation is breathe on me. Breath of God. Breathe on me. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. Thank you that they're here. And your blessing be upon them. And your word is alive. And it challenges us even in the study of what happened to Jesus after the resurrection and who he encountered. That he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And from that, they became a force, Lord, to the whole world. I pray that about us. Lord, we may live in fear, but Lord, breathe on us so that our fear is gone and we become a force for you. Breathe on us, Lord, because we need a newness and a freshness in our life. Give us life, Lord. Some of us here are dry bones. We're weathered, we're tired, and we're weary. Raise us up, Lord. Put us together and breathe life into us again. And Lord, let us know that the life we have is because of you, that it is the shared breath of God, and to give you thanks, and we thank you. Use us, Lord, for your honor, your power, more importantly, your glory. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you come find your place here today? You may want to come and just pray with somebody. Listen, we're Planet Fitness here. No judgment, okay? We're not going to go, well, look who walked the aisle. Look who can. Listen, if you want somebody to pray with you and to just simply pray with you, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. You may want to bring your family. I don't know what it is. But today, let's make this commitment to him. Ask him and just say, Lord, I need a newness, and I need you to breathe on my life. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, today, you come. Team's going to lead us. You respond.